I'm Dennis Barnard of Green River and HR Means Business. This is part two of my scary Halloween HR tale. It's based on several true life stories. The names have been changed to protect the unfortunate. Share this with your HR department on All Hallows Eve. Make sure that the punch is well fortified and that those of a nervous disposition are tucked up in bed. Everyone in the company was excited about the new system, especially in the HR department, where a number of the people had heard so much about what it could do, and they were dying to see it. The following week, Mary got a message from the vendor company asking for a date when their project manager could come along to talk about the system. They also asked if Mary had a company project manager. Well, of course, they didn't. They talked about it amongst themselves and decided it was too costly, and Mary herself had volunteered to look after things. Alan, the software company project man, arrived on Tuesday morning. He said he'd need a day or so to go over things with Mary. Although Mary was pretty busy with things at that time due to opening a new office in the north, she agreed to spend the time to get things underway. Alan gave her a copy of the project plan, which they studied together. It looked fairly straightforward, which Mary was thankful for. Alan then asked about the data held in the old system. "Well, it's fairly accurate," said Mary, "but we can get it into the new system and clean it up later to save time." Alan said that he couldn't really recommend that, but if time and resources to sort it out weren't available, there'd be no option. Mary asked Sunita to have a report run from the old system of all data fields and convert it into a CSV file, as Alan had requested. Alan also gave Mary a list of items he needed to be able to configure the system. The list was very long and included easy things like standard working hours, departments, holiday entitlements, and sickness allowances. There are also some trickier things like working patterns, grades, benefits, and pensions. Mary made a note to get those from the files. Next day, Mary was at a meeting at the new office and didn't arrive back till the afternoon. Alan said he'd made some progress thanks to help from Sunita, although she later told Mary she'd had to break off from a meeting with one of the managers to sort out what he'd needed. Anyway, what was originally planned to be no more than a couple of days actually turned into 9, because Mary had to have her department dig out a lot of information which wasn't to hand, particularly on processes like absence and onboarding, which were needed for workflows and notifications, and the rules like overtime multiples and extra holiday for long service. On top of that, Mary had to travel to the new office a couple of times, which set things back, because Sunita was snowed under with paperwork for the new starters at the office. Abigail popped into her office late one afternoon and asked how things were going. Mary explained about the delays and that they still hadn't quite finished. "Keep an eye on that," Abigail said. "We only had budget for 2 days of their project manager, and his daily cost is pretty high." Finally, the project manager was done after 13 days, and 2 weeks later, the test system was configured and the data loaded in. Mary, Sunita, and 3 HR assistants were set up in the conference room for training on the new system. 2 of the assistants thought the screens looked old-fashioned, and Joan, who was used to a few other systems elsewhere, described the software as a bit clunky, but Mary figured they'd soon get used to it. Putting reports together didn't seem so easy. Mary remembered they'd only shown the finished reports during the demo. 2 days later, Mary's team entered in the current month's data and ran some test reports to compare with the old system outputs. Everything looked fairly okay, but to Mary's annoyance, the addresses were all higgledy-piggledy. She rang Alan. Well, you know, that's because you didn't set up a standard address format for the new system and brought the data across as it stood, he explained. Remember, I recommended that data was cleaned up, but you said there wasn't time. Mary wrote standardized addresses in her to-do organizer. Next day, she got two of the assistants to start rearranging the addresses, all 1,700 of them. She realized that a lot of things were going to be left undone while this was going on. Her problems were multiplied when she got a note from Veronica asking when the system would be live, as the board wanted to know. At the same time, she got a call from Alan asking if she was ready to sign off on the new system. Well, we're not ready to do that because there's a lot of data to be corrected, said Mary. Maybe, said Alan, but that's not our software that's in question, to be fair. It's the data you fed in. Mary couldn't argue with that. So it was agreed that the user acceptance document was signed off. Mary was now in a go-live situation, but with incomplete data. Mary replied to Veronica, saying that the system was live, but some data needed correcting, and Veronica asked when she could expect a staff report by department with annual salaries. Mary thought Veronica should have been able to access this from the self-service module, but said nothing. She said that everything would be in order in 4 working days. The next few days were nightmares. Everyone was desperately reformatting addresses and correcting any other obvious errors, and worked on late into the night. When they had finished finally on Thursday morning, Mary asked Sunita to run the report, and she then took it herself to Veronica, who was in a meeting with department heads. 2 hours later, Veronica arrived at Mary's office. In her hand was the report with lots of scribbling all over it. Mary, what on earth is all this? She asked. There are so many mistakes here. Simon Chapman was promoted to sales manager West last month. Vicky Chisholm transferred to credit control from Treasury ages ago, and there are 3 people on this report who've actually left. There's a lot of salaries wrong as well. I don't understand what's gone on here. I've also had some complaints from the new office. You haven't been up there as often as you said you would while they were getting settling down. Mary apologized and said she'd look into it right away. Of course, the old data again. So now they'd have to set up a data cleanse exercise without delay and feed in all the revised data. She couldn't afford to get help in because Abigail had told her over a coffee that the project overspend had now reached 5 figures. Meanwhile, she still had to make time for the new office. Her staff would be further behind, also causing more complaints from the business. And Veronica was now on her case too, talking about all this expense and effort to end up almost worse off. After work that evening, feeling stressed, she decided to drop into her local wine bar on the way home. The east wind was cold, November was almost here, and Mary felt the woes of the world on her shoulders. As she approached the steps leading down to the wine bar, a couple of kids in scary plastic masks jumped out from the adjoining doorway. "Trick or treat," they yelled. The parents standing behind were laughing. "You tell me," she replied with gritted teeth, and went through the door. The end. Clearly, many things went wrong for Mary in this story. The person who can summarize the biggest mistake in 20 words or less will win a Kindle copy of my book, Selecting and Implementing HR and Payroll Software. There's no one right or wrong answer, so do have a go. The email address accompanies this podcast. This has been Dennis Barnard, and thanks for listening. See you next time.